As part of our Christmas Eve service, we'd like to take a few moments and meditate together on one of our Christmas carols. And we do that because the Christmas carols, the best ones, are rich and full of the true meaning of Christmas, the gospel, the reason why we are celebrating, the reason why we rejoice. And sometimes it's really difficult to choose which one. There are so many. We've seen an example just tonight of the many wonderful ways in which we sing of our faith and we sing of Christmas and we sing of the Christ of Christmas together. But I thought that for a few moments this evening before we sing a little more and then go into our candle lighting service, that we could spend a few moments and meditate on the carol that we've just sang, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. This carol begins with a prayer of blessing for the merry gentlemen, a prayer for God rest, for God to make known His rest, for God to make known His peace. The anonymous author of this 15th century Old English carol prays for all who know Christmas to be a merry time, a happy time, a time of joy. He prays that they would also experience God rest. God rest is another way of saying what the Bible calls the peace that passes all understanding. Being at peace and at rest in heart and in soul with our Lord, with God. Being at peace and at rest in heart and soul beyond whatever our present circumstance and condition may be. God rest is a deep, abiding assurance. A deep, abiding rest and assurance and comfort that we are the Lord's. That the Lord is ours. That He is sovereign in the affairs of our life and in this world. That He is watching and caring. That He is good and wise and loving. And that we have been made right with Him. God rest is a restfulness in a restless world. You don't have to watch the news or read the paper or however you receive your news any amount of time to understand we live in a restless world. A restless world. A restless world that's often filled with anxious circumstances, pressing issues, stressful times, situations that cause us worry and doubt, trouble of mind and heart and soul. A God rest is a restfulness that can only come from God that overshadows all of those things in this life, externally and internally, that causes turmoil and unrest. A rest that can only be given by God to those who seek that rest in Him. Now that really seems, at first glance, when you first sing this carol, that seems like an unusual request, doesn't it? God rest ye merry gentlemen. Most of our Christmas carols sing of joy. They call us to rejoice. They call us to worship, to come and adore. We're going to sing that in just a few minutes. And rightly so. This is a time of joy. This is a time to rejoice, a time to worship Christ. Of all occasions, Christmas means joy. God has answered. God has come. God is at work. God is truly saving. But on the other hand, to pray for God rest, to ask for God rest for all of the merry gentlemen, for all the people who believe that Christmas is a merry time, to pray for God rest is not such an unusual request, is it? It's often the case that those times that are meant to be the most joyous, just like Christmas, can also be filled with loneliness, despair, worry, frustration, heartache. Maybe the author of this carol knew firsthand from personal experience that the joy of Christmas can sometimes be greatly diluted with sorrow, with pain, with dismay. And so he calls to us all, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. He recognizes the potential for in this most joyous of seasons and occasions for dismay to rob and steal away and overshadow and cloak, dampen our joy in the Lord, our highest joy. Maybe this Christmas your heart misses that special loved one who passed away. Maybe this previous year, maybe this is the first Christmas without that special loved one. Maybe you find yourself a bit lonely this Christmas, missing out on special gatherings with friends and family. Maybe there's strife at home, trouble at work, financial strain. Christmas is not going to be, Christmas morning is not going to be what you desired, what you planned, what you hoped for. Maybe there's sickness. There are any number of reasons. There are any multitude of reasons, occasions, circumstances that could cloud the joy of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, the true rejoicing in Christmas, and seek to replace that joy with despondency and dismay. And so the author turns our attention to the greatest gift ever known to man. A gift that we as believers not only know of, but possess and have. And he says, remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day. This news, this glad tiding changes everything. You may be in a circumstance in which you might say to the author of this carol, how dare you tell me to not dismay? You have no idea what I've walked through this year. He'd still say, remember, in all that you've walked through this year, remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. The fact that Christmas is about the coming of Christ is such news of magnificent proportions that it not only counters any feelings and causes of dismay, it disrupts them, it dismantles them, it overshadows them. Christ has come, the promised, longed for, long awaited Messiah has arrived. The Anointed One, the Son of God, has come to us. He has bridged the gulf between God and man. The Prince of Peace entered into our turmoil. The Giver of eternal life has removed the threat and power of sin and death. Whatever may cause and feed our feelings of dismay and despondency and discouragement at Christmas. The Christ of Christmas has come to answer and defeat every single one. Every single one. The only way that death or separation from loved ones or troubles and trials of this life have ultimate sway over our lives is if they have the last word. Christmas reminds us at the end of each year that they do not have the last word. Christ has the last word, the final say. And His word is life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. His word overcomes every other word. His word is life and forgiveness and peace and reconciliation and eternal bliss in the presence of God the Father. Everlasting life, everlasting peace, everything made right, everything reconciled, everything set correct, new heavens, new earth, new life, forever with God in Christ. Let nothing you dismay. He was born. Praise be to His name. He was born not only as the answer to the many sorrows and troubles of this life. He was born as the answer to the greatest sorrow and greatest trouble of this life, our sin. Indeed, whatever may cause us to despair, the greatest disparity in life is that we are separated from God, alienated from all the promises and riches and graces and goodness of God. Separated from God, caused by our sin against Him. That's our chief problem. That's our chief trouble that causes our greatest sorrow. The aching of our souls is to be reunited with our Creator. He was born to answer that chief sorrow, not just to give comfort and peace and assurance and answer to our many sorrows, but to our greatest one. And so the author of this carol continues, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. How clear is the gospel, the love of God demonstrated in the message of the gospel. It's not as though God sent His Son to save us as we were striving to please the Lord. No, we had gone astray. We were not interested in the Lord. Only a Lord of our own making. We were under the dominion of the evil one. Satan only has power over our lives to steal and kill and destroy when we belong to him. And since we are born sinners, born into sin, we belong to him. Sin enslaves us. We cannot escape its grip. Sin deceives us. We are enamored. We are allured. We are convinced of its deceptive promises that if we go our own way, make our own path, create our own morals, do our own thing, that God will be happy, that we will be happy, that nothing is wrong. Sin lures us and deceives us with a promise of life and happiness and even salvation. And finally, if left to our own devices, going our own way, wandering our own path in the clutches of sin, sin will finally destroy us both now and for eternity. We don't like to admit it, but we dig ourselves into destruction by remaining in our own way, going our own way. But He was born. How do you stop an entire world of people going their own way into destruction? Christ is born. He was born to save us all from Satan's power. How, you might ask? How can He save us from the dominion of darkness, the blindness of sin? How can He rescue us from our own guilt, our own shame, our own consequence? How? And that, my dear friends, is the beauty of Christmas. The glad tidings of joy, the good news of the gospel. He and only He could become one of us. No one else could become one of us. All of us are already one of us. But He could become one of us. And by becoming one of us, He could take on our sin onto Himself and pay our sin debt and thereby free us from the power of the enemy. Transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The Scriptures declare and sing and shout this glorious news everywhere. Everywhere throughout the Scriptures. Here are two wondrous texts. Isaiah, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7 says this: "All we like sheep have gone astray." That's the carol, right? When we were gone astray. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Not to God's way, to his own way. Well, how are you going to get out of that? Here's the second part, verse 7. "And the Lord has laid on him," Christ, "the Lord has laid on him the iniquity," the sin, "the wrong," the evil, "the bad of us all." The New Testament example, Romans 5:8. "But God shows His love to us in this way, that while we were still sinners, when we were gone astray, Christ died for us, for our sin." And so, being reminded of all that God has done for us in Christ, that far surpasses, far outweighs, far outlasts — this is an eternal salvation — far outlasts any dismay that life can bring and that sin will surely deliver. The author then closes out this first verse singing, "O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy." He begins with "God rest. Let nothing you dismay." He ends with joy. Tidings, good news, comfort to address whatever you dismay. "Let nothing you dismay," he cries. And joy to replace it, joy to overwhelm it, joy to overcome it. What is this joy? It's the joy of forgiveness. Being cleansed, being made right, being made whole, being reconciled. Rescued from the evil one, eternal redemption. The only thing great enough, the only thing glorious enough to overshadow whatever you dismay is the comfort and joy of belonging to God. Of knowing that whatever is happening around me, whatever is happening to me, whatever is happening in me, I belong to Him. I am His and He is mine forevermore. For the child of God, God rests. Is ours both now and forever. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, whatever causes you dismay, remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort for the dismay. Joy for the salvation. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in the Christmas season, when we celebrate Christ, when we joy in our Savior, that whatever circumstances we experience that may cause dismay as well, we also take peace. We also take comfort. We also take God rest in the fact that Christ was born to save us. Glory to His name. We're going to continue kind of in a song of response to rejoice and worship the Lord for what He has done. And then we're going to move into a candle lighting service together. And then the service will come to a close. And I just want to invite you, if you desire Christ the Lord as your Savior, I would love to speak to you tonight. Please don't leave the campus when our service dismisses until I've had a chance to pray with you. Let me know if you desire Christ as Lord.